Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 183 of the Milk Bar, and it's Christmas Eve.
It's Christmas Eve, Jason. And we've done all our presents, so we can't do that.
Yeah, well, that's not what we're here for today. We're just relax and enjoy Christmas, because most Christmas shows that go out on Christmas Eve are recorded when? June, aren't they?
Oh, something probably, like. Yes. Yeah. Well, this one is actually, I can verify it's Christmas Eve.
Because, as ever, you were in charge of doing all the extra bits today,
yep.
All the linking pieces to go, which is what we're doing now.
Yeah.
And what happened?
It wasn't. People are sick.
Okay, but you got all this stuff planned, and you thought you're telling me, and they were unwell and weren't able to. Yeah.
Yes, they've been unwell, which is a shame, because I'd like to have a Christmas band or a Christmas carols.
Well, it's okay, because
I'm going to start early. Next week, I'm going to book it for next Christmas.
Okay, you're going to get planned and sort of plenty of time. What we've got coming up today, Sam Drazy is going to bring us his Christmas tune. We'll be having a chat. Well, I'll be having a chat with him later on, because that was the bit
that was
I did that bit.
Yes.
Also, I'm talking to Jean Martin a little bit later, and we've got some music from her Christmas on the Piano CD.
Oh, I'll enjoy listening to that, Jason.
I don't think that's a technical title for it, but that's what it is. It's Christmas on a Piano. Jan Brookfield, who provides more stuff in a year than you do for the programme as producer.
Yeah, and probably you, to be fair, Jason.
She's very good, I know, Janice.
Yes.
So we're having a little chat with her in a short while's time. But first of all, we now have on the line Ken Morley, known to millions as Reg Holdsworth in Coronation Street. They're around the globe. However, here in Wolverhampton, he's in Jack and the Beanstalk in Panto this year and joins us now on the phone. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
That's good.
Wonderful.
To hear. Now, Jack and the Beanstalk.
Yes.
What's your role?
Well, because of my age and stature and enormous fatness, I'm the king.
The king? Oh, that is understandable.
Yes, that's right. And better monarch than ever was.
Hopefully fashionable glasses on a monarch as well.
Oh, several pair.
Really? Are there different glasses throughout the production?
Oh, yes.
Some people have massive costume changes. Hopefully it's not just more than just the bins that you're swapping around.
No, just swap my head.
So it must be great fun doing Panto. How many of these things have you lined yourself up for over the years?
Well, I started when I left Coronation Street in 1995, actually. I was asked to do one at Sunderland.
Mm-hmm.
And it went on and on and on and on. And the only time I ever missed was when I was doing the Rocky Horror Show with Jason Donovan that year. So, but apart from that, this will be about getting on a bit for about 17 years now. I've been doing Panto.
I hadn't realised it was so long since you left Coronation Street.
No, it is. It's amazing. It's, time goes quickly.
It does fly by, but it hasn't meant you haven't sort of appeared in storylines here and there either, because you sort of pop up every once in a while, don't you?
Yes. I've been, busy, really. That's the word for it. I mean, I did Hardware for 3 years, which was very, very good, and several other things, and toured with shows forever and a day. I was in the Rocky Horror Show was only supposed to be for 6 weeks, and I ended up on it for 2 years because it's such a big show. But it's very pleasant to be working again with Sherry, of course, because we've been, although we know each other and we contact each other, we've never actually worked together for a long time, apart from Loose Women occasionally.
Now, Sherry's your on-screen wife in Corrie back in
the
day.
She was indeed, yes.
Now, how is the atmosphere there? Because didn't Reg run off with another woman?
With several.
That's shocking.
Yes, I know. He ran off to a fish factory in Lowestoft, wondering what the smell was.
But she's forgiven him for this, I take it, as in your now on stage partnership at the Grand.
Yes, yes, indeed, yes, yes. She is now the star due to her weekly appearance on Loose Women and Benny Dorm,
mm-hmm.
which has been very, very successful for her.
And it must be great doing Panto. It's got to be one of the best jobs in acting, hasn't it?
Oh yes, it is.
And I'm supposed to go, oh, no, it's not at this point.
Well, there's Keith Harris, of course.
Yes.
And there's wonderful little duck.
Mm-hmm. Do you get on well with the duck?
I do indeed, yes. I comb his hair every night.
Yeah, the duck hasn't got a temperament, though. That's the important thing.
That's absolutely true.
Well, some of these celebrities can be a problem, can't they?
Well, the duck is.
Yeah.
Split personality, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, with the three of us together, it's quite a handful. And, of course, the lovely Nikki Evans, who's a local girl,
yep.
has got definitely has to be one of the best voices in the world. I was absolutely mad. I hadn't met Nikki before, but when she started singing in the rehearsal, I said, whoa, what's this? It's absolutely stunning. And Nigel, of course, who's the dame, who runs our big website, which is called It's Behind You, which shows you instantly, if you get on the website and put in It's Behind You, you get a list of all the pantos in England and who's in it, when it's on, etc., etc., all free.
And it is great to get along to these things. It's a British tradition, but it's great family fun. And down there at the Grand, as we were talking to Ian Watkins a couple of weeks ago, everybody's really in the spirit for it. I think he was more excited than anybody else, to be fair. Mm. And I suppose it helps if you're in marketing. But for you, what's the best bit of doing panto?
Well, oddly enough, because Wolverhampton is... there are pantos, of course, all over England, in every city and town, but there are outstanding pantos, and one of them is in Wolverhampton. There are one or two others, but Wolverhampton's got a very long tradition of panto, and it's one of the longest in the UK. It used to run almost up to Easter at one point in the days just before TV came on, mm-hmm. but even now, it's what, over 6 weeks. It's one of the longest, because most of them are only on 3 weeks or 4 weeks at the maximum. And when you think that, we started, what was it, about the 7th of December, by the time we get to the end of December, over 44,000 people have seen the panto.
And that, I mean, there are TV shows that aren't getting those sort of ratings as well, aren't there?
That's absolutely right. I mean, that's a lot of people, 44,000 people.
In your role as the King, is there anything you had to do to prepare yourself for this, or did it just come naturally to you?
Basically, I mean, you've got to have a lot of experience on stage, because it's a reciprocal thing, because the audiences shout and scream, of course, and are encouraged to do so. So there's this thing between your good self and the members of the audience, because you have to ask them what's going on and where other people are, and they all shout, particularly in the afternoons when it's 99% of wild, untamable children. you have to be able to deal with that. I mean, a lot of people get thrown by people either shouting or screaming at the top of the voice, but that's part of it. It's a long-standing tradition that's been with us for a couple of, because we have pantos in this country now for nearly 200 years in one form or another, although we nicked the idea off the Italians, basically. But I mean, it's a very strong English tradition. If you go to other parts of the world, they look at, what is pantomime? Well, how do you explain what is pantomime? You know, so it's a satirical art form in which we knock people off their perches. That's what we do, and the kids join in as well.
Now, what special treats are there? I know you can't spill out too many secrets, but what should we be looking out for as the production takes place?
Well, Jack and the Beanstalk's a very strange panto, because for the parents, they come to understand that the giant who's in the sky, who lives in his castle, which is beyond the clouds, so you can't see it, you've got a special way to find that. For the giant and his castle, read the City of London. Because, you know, the giant's very greedy, and he's always wanting more money off the villagers, which is why they're always skint. And then when he gets some money, he fritters it away and spends it on something. It's a bit like the City of London, really. They've gone off with all the cash. So we have to deal with it. They all know this. And, of course, the beanstalk, I mean, it's a monster in itself. And people expect something special with the beanstalk. And we have got a very, very good beanstalk, which just starts off on the floor. And then before your very eyes, develops in an absolute monster right up into the top of the roof. And then, of course, there's a giant. We've got a 10-foot giant on stage, which is controlled from off the stage. So it moves and talks and jumps them down and walks around. Animatronic is the word I was searching.
That's a good word, that word.
It is. It's a good word. And it's just a very, very good special effect, which is what you look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, kids these days are used to seeing pretty much anything and everything on TV.
Oh, they are, yeah.
You've got to recreate that on stage, and I know the team at the Grand Theatre are fantastic.
Oh, they are.
And the guys behind the production as well have come in. I'm led to believe it is a very, very funny script brought together by some of the best comedic actors in the country. Is this true?
That, you've taken the words right out of my mouth. That's after, I mean, Sherry gets them going, booing. She has to instruct them that she's not the person who they've seen on Benny Boy, but a much worse version of this. And they boo. Very good booing before she's left. And also the duck, of course, is loved by everybody. Although there is a monkey, a foul-mouthed monkey.
Yeah, little cuddles.
Yes, who's not very cuddly at all, really. All he wants to do is cut the duck in half and have some duck nuggets.
Well, they do serve them a local Chinese, I think. So I may give them the address. It might save Orville's neck, beak and everything else, but there we go. You're running through until January?
January the 20th, we finish.
And from your point of view, what's your next exciting role after that?
Well, this year, because I was almost 47 now, I decided last year that I was going to go to all the places that I've worked in my life, but this time as a tourist.
Oh, right.
So last year I went to America, I went to the Far East, I went to Istanbul on my own for a week and went around the Roman ruins. I went to southern France to have a look around there, and also Spain. I went to Granada, and I've been across Europe on my motorcycle and all over the UK. So I intend to continue, while I can, on seeing all the places like Egypt, and unless they burn it down before I get there, of course. and all the places that I've missed, because you know what it's like in a business life, is you go down to the airport, you get on the plane, you arrive, you go to a hotel, you get to 6:30 in the morning, you do your filming or whatever you're doing, you go back to the airport, get on the plane, go home. And you never actually see to the place. So
I know that feeling. I've seen them, Dubai like that, yep. Saudi Arabia,
no,
Houston,
me too.
And it's you're there, you're gone, and Everyone goes, "Well, I read your Facebook profile, and you must have a fantastic holiday." And I think, no, I've been at work the whole time, I was in the hotel.
Yeah, that's me. I've done it. Australia, you name it.
I got one day off in Australia. That was me lot, and I podcasted from there as well. So there you go.
Nice one.
Never stop working. That's the way it tends to go.
Yeah.
Well, I say have a great time in Panto. Break any bits of your body that feel appropriate to...
It's made of rubber.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's made of rubber.
And if you do want tickets, 01902 429212 is the box office number, or grandtheatre.info. And there is the Panto microsite as well you can go along to, can't you?
Oh, that's absolutely true.
And you can get that off the main grand page and check out that, and you can leave comments and interact even after you've seen the production. You've been booing at Sherry Houston as she's been on stage. It makes her night, I'm sure.
Oh, it's a brilliant night. The audience love it. Absolutely love it. They go mad.
Kent, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the Panto season for you this year.
Thank you.
And I look forward to many, many more.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
Cheers. Ta-ra for now.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now let's have something seasonal, Jason. Let's have Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Joyful.
Jean Martin is here with me now. Hello, Jean.
Hello, Jason.
Now, you've had a busy run of things over Christmas, haven't you? You've finished for Christmas as far as your concerts go now, but you've been performing here, there and everywhere up and down the country.
I have. My first performance was the 28th of November, and since I finished yesterday, I've done 2,549 miles.
That's a lot of miles.
I know.
And but relaxing in the luxury of the car outside. I've seen the vehicle.
Yes.
These things have to be done.
Well, I do.
Travelling like the Queen of the Keys, as you should be. And what's 2012 been like for you? What have you been up to?
It's been an amazing year, Jason. Not only have I been to Buckingham Palace in June, but I've also just come back from St James's Palace on the 6th of December, where I wasn't going to play. They just wanted me to go as my celebrity status, which was very nice, to mingle with the soldiers from Afghanistan and the Chelsea pensioners. And, of course, I met Princess Anne again, which is three times, and Prince Edward once, which was lovely. But she was there again, and she's absolutely adorable. And we had a wonderful time, and it was just amazing to be there, because it's a big charitable organisation, the Not Forgotten Association, and it makes people feel that, you know, they are special.
And we've got some Christmas music from you on the show today. So which Christmas tunes do you enjoy playing most?
Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
That is your favourite?
I love that one. Yes, I do like that one. And Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, I like that one as well.
Now, from your original Christmas album, because I know you're working on a new one for next year, you've got all that planned in the pipeline, haven't you?
Yes, that's half done, but I just haven't been able to finish it for this year, but it'll be a good one for next year.
And what have you got organised for 2013 so far?
Well, the diary's pretty busy. I'm averaging 4 concerts a month. That's without anything else coming in. I mean, every day the phone rings, so the office is closed now until January the 2nd, I'm afraid.
Don't blame me. Have a bit of a break and enjoy your Christmas period. Yes. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your Christmas music with us, and we'll take a listen to you on the piano now. Now, we can't do Santa Claus is Coming to Town, because that's on your new album, not the old one, isn't it?
That's correct, yes. So we're going to have to do something that's on this one.
Which is?
Sleigh Ride. I sincerely hope that you have a wonderful Christmas, and everything that you wish for, you have.
Christmas music is all over the place at this time of the year. We've heard some carols already, but now we have another original Christmas song. This time, the author is Sam Drazy, and he joins us on the phone now. Hello.
Hiya.
How you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. So it's been a few weeks since we last met up. It must have been back in August or September when you came in and played a few tunes for us live here in the studio.
Yeah, but, something like that, yeah.
You have been rather busy, because the track, The Christmas Countdown, features on an album of Christmas songs.
Yeah, I do a lot of open mic hosting and stuff, and I've been doing it for about 4 years, where we do a charity Christmas album, and the guys that come and play at the open mics write their own Christmas songs, and we put it all together for them.
So it must be good to do each year and raise some cash, but also bring a bit of festive cheer as well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, a lot of people are a bit sick of Christmas songs that are about anyway. But it's good for a lot of different reasons. Obviously, it's for a good cause, but it's nice for me as well to have a kind of annual catalogue of what's been going on during the year and who's been down to the different nights and stuff. And the other thing I've always said is that the guys who don't write so much are just new to songwriting. Christmas songs have always got really dodgy, cheesy lyrics and cheesy music and stuff. So you can kind of get away with something that you're not really that happy with, just because it doesn't have to be particularly deep and meaningful in order to make a good Christmas tune.
And you, I'm sure your song is going to be deep and meaningful when we're hearing it in a moment or two's time. But where do you find inspiration if you're trying to write one of these every year? Because most bands have one and that's it. That's their retirement fund. So how do you see your songs if you're doing them regularly?
Well, I've done three now, I think. And there have been all sorts of different things. The first one I ever did was a almost political rant about The X Factor and stuff like that. And then last year I did a song about my nan, which was a lot nicer. And then this year is different again. It's more about kind of Christmas starting. It's a bit of a joke tune, really, about Christmas starting early and stuff. So,
well, we'll take a listen to that in a sec. But first of all, tell us about the album, how people can get hold of it, and where the money that you raise will go to.
You can get them from me. I'll be doing open mic nights over the festive period. I'm going to put them up on my online shop as well. So you'll be able to get them from there. If you go on like my Sam Jacy Facebook page and stuff, there's links there to go on the my online store and buy stuff. So I'll put them up on there. And then that's it, really. I mean, you can come and get them. I'm going to give some out to the other artists that are on the CD as well. So anybody who's played on the CD will have some copies, and you can get them from them.
And give us the names of a few of the bands who also appear.
A guy called Don Malin, who does a lot of tunes in the local area. Sean Flood's played on it. And then some older guys, Baden Powell and Pat Quirk's on it as well.
So worth getting hold of that one. I know Sean, we've heard his music here in the Milk Bar. It's good to listen to, so it'll be interesting to see his take on the festive idea there. You've also got some open mic nights coming up in the early part of 2013. Let us know about those before we hear the tune.
Yeah, well, I do the open mic at the Albion in Wensfield every Sunday. And actually, we got the winner from the Albion's Got Talent as well, doing a song on the Christmas album. And I do one on the last Wednesday of every month at the Rainbow Inn in Coven, and one every 2 weeks at the Hartley Arms on a Monday night, which is in Wheaton Aston. And then, of course, I do the Sam Jacy session gigs at the Robin, which are usually mid-month on a Tuesday, sometime once a month. They're on the website, those dates are, so.
And yeah, they've just sent out the flyer and your name's all over it. I've just found my copy in my Pigeonhole, and you get a good mention, which is what we like to see. Sam, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And we shall now take a listen to the Christmas Countdown.
It's 12 more weeks until Christmas, you told me, but I already know. The shops are in full circus, there isn't even a hint of snow. And the songs have started already, they're clogging up the radio. And the Coke advert's been on the telly, and there's still over 3 months to go. It's 8 more weeks until Christmas, and the people are filling with cheer. But all I want for Christmas is the only song I seem to hear. The lights are switching on now, but to see them you will have to wait. 'Cause it's 2 more months until Christmas, and it's still light at 8:30. It's 4 more weeks until Christmas, of this there can be no doubt. Everyone else is getting excited, but I'm feeling a little left out. And I'm eating the chocolates daily to force me to count down the days. But there's still a month left till Christmas, and it's going at a snail's pace. It's 2 more weeks until Christmas, and I've got all my shopping done. I managed to sidestep the rabble, thank goodness for Amazon. And the tree is decorated, pine needles all over the floor. And there's 14 more days until Christmas, but it feels like a whole lot more. There's one more night until Christmas, one more night until it's here. And the waiting has been outrageous, it gets longer every year. And I'm struggling to fall asleep now, after making my Christmas wish. Merry Christmas to all that are listening, and I'll see you at 6:30.
Zoe, you have actually arranged for someone to call into the show, haven't you?
I have, Jason.
Who have you got on the line now?
Santa.
Santa, the real Santa.
Yes, he's took time out of his busy schedule.
It's Christmas
today.
Eve.
Yes.
Hello, Santa.
Oh, oh, oh.
How are you, Santa? Have you had a fun day today?
I'm very busy, I'm fat, and I'm jolly.
That's what we like to hear.
Actually, I'm not even slightly convinced. There's nothing like Santa Claus, because it is, in fact, Pete Clements, who joins us live from Houston via the magic of Skype. And we can see you as well. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How's Christmas Eve over there? Because it's 6 o'clock here and midday there at the moment.
Yeah, and it's about 76 degrees.
Oh,
and
wow.
It doesn't feel like Christmas.
Now, this is one of many Christmases for you over in the US, so surely you should be used to the non-seasonal weather.
Yeah, you're getting used to it. We are actually going to be cold tomorrow. I mean, we're just sitting here waiting for a cold front to come through. It's going to be a little dramatic. They say in the morning, Christmas morning, we could have a few storms here. And by Wednesday morning, it's going to be down to kind of English temperatures. In fact, we may dip just below freezing on Wednesday morning. So it's going to be a bit of a shock to the system in the next 24 hours.
Yeah. Well, we're mostly getting rain over here in the UK at the moment, as I'm sure you're aware.
Yeah, I've been following it. I've been speaking to my father. I mean, as you know, I think I come from Norfolk, which is one of the drier parts of England, typically, I'm told. But he's been telling me about the flooding and obviously picking stuff up from Facebook contacts. So, and we're in a drought, so go figure.
We'll send some water over at some point.
And what have you got planned for Christmas then?
I'm going to have a quiet Christmas. I'm actually going to be here on my own. Oh, sob, sob. I hope you'll feel sorry for me. Well, actually, I'll be with the two cats, as you know, Jason. They'll
yes,
be here.
We have met the cats.
I do cook a typical kind of English Christmas dinner every year. In fact, I do it on all the major holidies, to be honest. So.
What, a Christmas dinner?
I'm doing duckling.
So, no, that's properly British, isn't it? Zoe,
yes. It
Zoe,
is.
What have you got planned this year?
Well, I'm going to be up late tonight, cutting my vegetables up ready for tomorrow, so I haven't got quite a rush in the morning. So that's my evening planned, and we've got turkey and gammon, which again is quite traditional. Some mustard as well.
Oh, would you rather have your duckling, or do you want to be invited over to Zoe's for dinner?
It sounds good. I think I can put the duckling back in the freezer.
Crackers as well.
Christmas crackers.
Yes, Christmas in crackers. Fact,
I was actually going to try and get over this Christmas, mm-hmm. but things didn't quite pan out. And I'm afraid now, if you want to get a flight from Houston to the UK, we are talking quite a few thousand dollars.
It's not cheap at this time of year, is it? You have to plan ahead for these things.
If I'd have put one a couple of months ago, it would have been fine, but it went from like 1,200 up to in the 3,000s. So it's a little expensive to fly right now.
That is a little bit frightening, to be honest, but there we go. So do you have Christmas crackers for your meal? Because did they do those in the US?
Do you know, I don't know if they do or not. I haven't really been out to many Christmas lunches with Americans. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's a very good question. I was going to go online and look at some of the local stores. I'm sure they do. If they can make money, they'll do it.
That's pretty much the way it goes. Pete, it's been lovely on the times. We've been over in Houston to have a chat with you and been off and exploring. The trip to Galveston, which is still available to download, was a really good day out. And thank you for your hospitality when I've been over there. And do have a fantastic Christmas and a fabulous 2013.
And you too. And just to think about that Galveston one, I actually put that video you talked about when we were driving.
Oh, yes, we did have a little tape of me running around.
I actually put it to, if you listen to it, it's actually exactly the same length as Glen Campbell's Galveston. But when they tried to upload it, Facebook wouldn't let me do it for copyright purposes. It was a real shame because when we were on the beach there, this is a funny little story, and it goes, I think the song goes, I saw her standing there on the beach or something, and that was where we were actually standing on that beach, and that lady walked right on cue. I mean, it's
perfect. So, find my Facebook
on YouTube.
Find my Facebook page, look out for it, and then if you can get onto YouTube for us for the new year, that'd be fantastic.
All right, well, I hope you all have a good Christmas over there and keep yourselves warm, and we'll be thinking about you.
Thank you. Very much. See you soon. Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Producer Jan Brookfield with us, and you've been providing things on and off throughout the whole of 2012. And how has the year been for you? Quite a calm one or busy?
Busy. It's always busy.
And you seem to be out every night of the week.
I know, yeah. I'm filling my life with stuff.
And a lot of them, we've actually been, you know, people you've been to see, we've actually spoken to on the show, and yes. I know you've enjoyed quite a bit of the music that we've heard as well. Yes. What's been your highlight musically of 2012?
Oh, gosh. Quite like Remnants. It was nice to hear them again.
Yeah, Paul popped in and we had a little chat with the guy, so that was good.
I went to see him as well.
You just, what was the gig like?
No, I went to see him.
Oh, at the pottery. Oh, you didn't go to a gig. I don't know.
Sorry, yeah, we had a nice chat, and I took along a couple of German visitors, and they had a lovely time.
Did they buy some pottery?
They did, yeah. And also, they had a good look at his old car. He's got an old Morris Traveller.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And they thought that was fascinating, had the photos taken by it and everything.
What have you got planned then for 2013? Have you got anything else exciting going on?
I don't plan, Jason. I don't plan. Well, not really.
Who knows what could happen?
Yes, I just sort of take each day as it comes and make most of it.
But you've still got your gentle line dance classes ongoing?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, most definitely. And I'm still choreographing as well.
Yeah, and you've actually had some interest from people in France of late on your choreography.
Yeah, amazing. A couple of dances that I wrote or choreographed, whatever you want to call it, in 2003, mm-hmm. and another one in 2006, and they've this particular lady's translated them. She's and then it turns out that she's translated about 100 of my dances. Yeah,
and you're big in France at the moment.
So obviously, yeah, without realising it.
So line dancing for the gentle line dancing is ongoing,
yeah.
And the French are now taking Jan Strake out Brookfield's stuff by storm.
Yeah. Definitely. Woo! Some more dances are getting printed in magazines, and I'm a happy bunny.
Are the royalties coming in?
Oh, no, you don't get any.
Oh, no, it's not the way it works, is it? No. Have a great 2013.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to more stuff going on. And let us know what good gigs you go and see, and we shall talk about those too.
Yes, all right. I will. All right. Happy Christmas, everyone.
So it draws to the close. Our last show of the year proper.
Yes.
Except New Year's Eve, we'll have our quiz.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to that. Yeah.
Your score in
the
again.
Score. Yeah. Yes, the lady with the score.
And standby team member, just in case anyone doesn't turn up. That's the way it works. Because when you're bringing people along just after Christmas, you never know who may have too many mince pies and too much sherry.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
My general knowledge isn't very good. So
that's going to be brilliant then.
Yes.
Should be hilarious. I'm hoping you'll be on scoring because your adding up's quite funny too. But there we go.
It's normally right though. I think I had a calculator last time.
You did, didn't you? And all you had to do was add one on each time. But there we are. So you have a fantastic Christmas, Zoe.
And you, Jason.
And Merry Christmas to one and all of our listeners.
Merry Christmas.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.